I'm Chris Harwood. This is live from Studio A. I've got Bob Bingham and Gordon Thorne here in the studio with us today to play some music.
All right, let's kick her off.
Police coming with their ball and chain. Police coming with their ball and chain. They accusing me of murder, never harmed no man. Well, some got 6 months. Got solid, yeah. Some got 6 months, some got solid, yeah. Yeah, but me and my buddy got a lifetime, yeah. Well, judge, he pleaded, clerk, he wrote it down. Now must be Joliet bound. And I'll cook my supper, let me go to bed. Cook my supper, let me go to bed. I've been drinking white lightning, has gone to my
Bingham, Gordon Thorne here live in Studio A. What was the name of that tune?
That's called Joliet Bound. That's a Memphis Minnie tune, Memphis Minnie and Joe McCoy tune.
Goes Bob back to
Charm School down in Joliet.
Yeah, goes back to the Charm School. Goes back 70 so years, I suppose, then, that one.
Yeah, it's a pre-war number. Most of this stuff goes back 70, 80 years that we draw from. Not all we play comes from that era, but the style, the way we play it kind of comes from that era.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Then we fuse that with all the other stuff we've gathered over the years, too. But really, that's kind of the, when you fingerpick guitar in this style, it kind of comes from about 80 years ago.
Yeah. Well, you've got quite a lineage between the two of you. Now, you Bob, were part of Lamont's Cranston's for a few years there. You were part of that band.
A lot of years.
Yeah.
I mean, I was in the original Lamont Cranston band.
And they formed back in the late 70s, was it?
43 years ago.
Okay. Well, that's late 60s.
Yeah, late 60s.
Yeah. Well, it was about 1969, 1970.
There's no spring chicken.
Pat and I put the band together at about 1970 or so, and mm-hmm. I was in and out of it five times. So, you know, I did some recording with them and played on a couple of the records, and, you know, I came and went and played with a lot of other people. You know, I worked with Luther Allison's band for a while, and Kim Wilson, I played with him for a while in a couple of bands. And I did the usual litany of Chicago blues, you know, stuff. You know, I played with a lot of different musicians. So,
right.
I jumped around a lot. But I didn't start doing this acoustic stuff till I was like 40 years old.
Wow. So you started out in electric at first.
Oh, yeah, I played electric guitar. I started out playing surf music in high school. And then I went on to, I played in heavy rock bands up until the time I was about 21. And when I ran into Pat out here in Minnesota, I was from Detroit. When I ran into Pat out here, then I started getting into more of the electric blues and Chicago blues, Little Walter and Muddy Waters, Howlin' Wolf type of stuff.
Right. You know?
So that's kind of my history.
In a nutshell.
And Gardner, you were kind of a West Bank fella for a while.
I grew up in Massachusetts, and then I moved out here, went to college out here, and started playing guitar around, you know, as a college student and stuff, and was kind of just in that folk little conglomerate of, the Coffee House Extempore. I hosted open stages there for a long time when I was learning how to play, and played a place, you know, at the Riverside Cafe. You know, you had all these tip joints, you know, you really weren't making any money, but it gave you a place to play a kind of music that, you know, that you couldn't get a gig playing anywhere at the time. So, you know, it was really a nice thing, place to cut your teeth and learn how to do it, and there wasn't a lot expected of you, so you could really take some big falls, and it didn't hurt too bad.
As we all know, blues isn't about making money, is it?
No, that's my wife calls this thing the starvation box, because as soon as I pick it up and head out the door, she knows that we're losing money. Because I'm not going to work, I'm going to play.
Yeah,
we're always trying to save up enough money for our next gig.
Well, let's hear another tune.
This is an old tune. One of the first records that I ever owned. I think actually it was the first record I ever owned. My dad got stuck with us one weekend when I was about 12 years old. He got stuck with us. My mom was off and doing something else, and he got stuck with the three boys. And it was like raining all weekend, and he ended up taking us to a department store, and that's when I bought my. I shook him down for my first record, and I was looking through the record department there, and I didn't know what I wanted to buy. I had no idea. I just wanted something cool, and I saw this record by a guy named Taj Mahal, Giant Step, and the old folks at home. It was a two records for one deal, and I bought that when I was, I was probably 12 years old. I bought that record just because he had a cool hat and a nice belt buckle and a red scarf.
It's a good first buy.
Oh, it was a great first buy. Then I played it every day on my waiting to go to school. I remember sitting on this little couch in my front hall, and I'd eat breakfast and lay on that couch and listen to the old folks at home, all that old banjo stuff, the old side. You know, he had the rock side and the kind of the old-timey side, and I would listen to that thing endlessly. I just knew all the songs off it by heart. And the other, about a month ago, we were on a gig, and I just decided to break this one out. And so we've just been playing it once in a while, and we'll try it again since it's been kind of that way. It's a little Light Rain. I love that tune, Light Rain, from that record. So this is how we do it. Light rain, light rain, come down. Light rain, light rain. Woo! Mama falling down. So they're tapping on my window, Lord. It's patting on the ground. I'm going to Houston. I'm going to see my pony run. I'm going to Houston. Watch my pony run. I cop a little money. I'm bound to bring home some. Big, big bullfrog. Baby sitting in the pond. Big, big bullfrog. Sitting in the pond. Sporting a white tie and coattail. Ain't got no britches on. Got a stack of dollars. Woo! Long as I am tall. I got a big old stack of dollars. Baby, long as I am tall. All you extra special good to me, baby. Woo! Lord, you can go and spend them all. Light rain, light rain. Mama falling, falling, falling down. Light rain, light rain. Feel it falling down. Soon as it hit my little window, Lord, bound to touch the ground. I hear a mighty rumbling somewhere in the ground. I hear a mighty rumbling deep down in the ground. Oh, it must be the devil trying to turn my woman round. I'm going to Houston. I'm going to watch my pony run. I'm headed over to Houston. Watch my pony run. I win a little money. I'm bound to bring home some. Yeah, light rain, baby falling down.
light rain. Ooh, low. It falling down. Soon as it hit my window, low, bound to hit the ground. I hear it tapping on my window, hear it patting on the ground.
Gordon there taking the lead on Bingham and Thorne. Light Rain, it's Taj Mahal tune. Of course, it sounds like all those great old Delta blues, the Mississippi, yeah, John Hurts and the likes.
I'm not really sure where that tune actually comes from, but I believe it kind of falls in that same... I think there was a woman songster from Texas that sang that song. It was kind of a folky kind of song. It really wasn't a blues tune. Kind of like that Wild Ox Moan type of song, you know. It didn't really fall into, it wasn't even a recordable type of song back in its day, you know. It might have gotten recorded in the 40s later on by Sam Charters or somebody like that, but mm-hmm, it's mm-hmm. a really, really old song that who knows where it really came from. And
right.
I sure don't. I just make it up as I go. You know, but that's the beauty of those kind of songs, is they don't really have much of a form and you can do whatever you want with them. So
what kind of music was in the house growing up? I mean, this is your first record you bought. What other kind of stuff was around?
What other stuff was there?
Yeah.
Well,
did your parents have a lot in there?
No, my parents weren't real big. I think we had some Fifth Dimension, some Tom Jones. Let's see what else. We had
Broadway show tunes.
Oh, right? Yeah, tons of Broadway show tunes, I'm sure. And, just some cheesy classical stuff, you know.
Yeah.
My dad, they weren't real music people. I had an uncle that collected 78s, my mom's brother.
Yeah.
He collected 78s, so I learned a lot of, I got introduced to a lot of interesting things through him as I grew up, but inside the house it was just my brothers and I. As a matter of fact, my mom was so clueless to music that when there was a head shop in our little town, you know, and they had records, and this was a small town in Massachusetts, and they had a record store and a head shop there. And she went down to get us, my brother and I, a Christmas record when we were probably 13, 14 years old. And she came, the guy led her to, gave us a Frank Zappa record, and my brother got Morrison Hotel from the Doors, you know, when he was like 12, from my mom. So, you know, the guy was just stoned out, and he had directed her to this one smutty record, one, like, you know, drug-frenzied record from the Doors. And that's what we were given for Christmas.
Here you go, Ma.
Yeah. Take it home. Then they went right back to the bong and laughed it up the rest of the afternoon.
What about you, Bob? You grew up in Detroit. Were you all about the Motown scene or anything at all when you were growing up?
Yeah, we lived there for about 5-6 years, and when I really started to get interested in music was at a time probably 1963-64, and the Ventures were really big, and the surf music was going on, and so we all wanted to play in a surf band, so we started one in Detroit. And
well, Lake Michigan can get a little
and we did, you know, yeah, Lake St. Clair.
That's right, Lake St. Clair, yeah.
But you know, we started out with, and then the Beatles invasion happened, and you know, I went through the usual, you know, cover band thing where I played in a lot of rock and roll cover bands. We did all, and then I discovered the blues actually through the Rolling Stones and some of the British influences. But I was into heavy rock for a while. I mean, I had a Marshall stack, and I had, you know, I was into that whole thing because we used to go down to the Grandy Ballroom in Detroit and see all the British blues acts and all the big, you know, like the Who and, you know, all those type of acts that would come through town, Jeff Beck. And so I was really into that, and I lived in Ann Arbor for a little while, and I was playing in rock bands then. And like I said, I sort of got into the blues, you know, through the back door. I started listening to Paul Butterfield. And when I came out here, the first person I met when I came to Minnesota to visit my parents was Pat Hayes. I ran into him on the street in Wayzata, and he, you know, he's a harmonica player with Lamont, and we hit it off, and that's when we started the band. And that's really when I started looking into the blues more deeply. Pat kind of steered me towards Howlin' Wolf and Muddy Waters and guys like that. And, of course, we got to do shows with a lot of those guys back then because they were all alive still. I mean, we did a show. We did a bunch of shows with Muddy down at the Silver Dollar Club on Lake Street and 35W. I think there's a McDonald's there now.
Yeah, I think so. Right?
But, you know, so we sort of got exposed to the real guys way back then. Now, of course, all of them are dead now. But, you know, we got on, you know, the Caboose opened up and they brought a lot of people in. Charlie Campbell, the promoter, bought a lot of blues acts. He really did a lot to promote the blues in Minnesota, Woodchuck, Charlie Campbell. And of course, he managed the Cranston Band. So, you know, I did that for quite a while. And after, you know, when I moved to Phoenix when I was 40, I was playing in a couple blues bands there. And I just told my wife that one night after the gig, I just came home. I threw my guitar on the floor. I just said, that's it. I'm either going to play by myself or I'm not going to play at all.
Mm.
And that worked out for a while until Gordy showed up on my front porch. And, and then we started playing together and, you know, on and off, we've worked together for over 15 years.
Yeah.
We don't practice as much as we should, but, you know, at the gigs, Gordy will pull out songs or I'll pull a song out and we'll just, like that Light Rain tune we just did, we never rehearsed that. We just brought that to,
sure.
Gordy pulled it out at a gig one night and the pieces fall.
Well, you don't want to practice too much, though. It gets all polished. It just ruins it.
No.
Then you don't have an excuse when you make a mistake.
That's right. That's right.
We get away with murder on a regular basis.
Bigham and Thorne, they're live in Studio A here. There. Let's hear another one.
Okay, I'm going to do an old... this is one of the first songs I ever learned how to fingerpick. It's by a Texas songster named Mance Lipscomb. And I was really into Mance when I first started playing. I mean, I just thought that monotonic Texas blues thing really got me. I really loved him and Lightnin' Hopkins and guys like that. And so, I as a matter of fact, this was a song that I wasn't, Gordon and I weren't performing this for a long time. And Gordy, I pulled it out on the gig one night and we decided we liked it again. So, it's called Charlie James. It's about the sheriff and... it's got that distinctive Texas sound to it. Charlie James coming down the road, won't you please tell him which way you seen me go? In the morning soon I'm gone back to Houston. In the morning soon had a whole lot of trouble one day. Next day I didn't know what to do. I looked down the road just as far as I could see, and I thought I spied my old time. Had a whole lot of money, wouldn't be. Next day I didn't have a dime. I looked down that road just as far as I could. I thought I spied my old time used to be.
Well, when a man gets in trouble, everybody throws him down. Killing for his friend, and they won't come around. Well, you might go, and you may try to stay, but you'll be back some old rainy day. Nobody ever knows you when you're down and out. Ask them for a favor, they don't know what it's all about. Well, you might go, and you may try to stay, but you'll be back some old rainy day. So if you see Charlie James coming down the road, don't you please tell him which way you seen me go. In the morning soon, in the morning soon, I'm going back to Houston. In the morning soon, I'm going.
Bob Biggin and Gordon Thorne live in Studio A. So Massachusetts and Michigan, but you're both now...
We're both from Massachusetts.
Yeah, right,
Northern Minnesota men.
We're both from Massachusetts.
Oh, I thought you grew up in Detroit. You spent a few years there.
I lived there for about 6 years, but I was born in Boston. So was Gordy. And, you know, the chances are that we've run into each other. He was from Manchester. I was from Brookline. But we
didn't meet until the Northwoods of Minnesota.
Yeah, right. Out in the middle of nowhere at my cabin one day. Gordy just showed up. Uninvited, may I add.
Like a skunk.
And he's like been uninvited ever since.
Well, you got two records out. Out of the Desert and the Blues was your first one. The second one, appropriately enough, titled Bingham and Thorne 2.
Yeah. First one we recorded down when Bob was living out in Arizona. And that was a fun record to make. I flew out there and spent 3 or 4 days out there and laid down all the stuff, and then Bob wrestled with the rest of it. And that took a while. Then the second one we did right here in Duluth with Eric Swanson at Sacred Heart, and that was a piece of cake. You know, we just went in and we recorded that thing in about 6 hours, and then we left it in his able hands, and he just, you know, EQ'd it a little bit, and there it went right to the presses.
Different acoustics in there than the desert, I imagine.
Yeah,
Big church.
I really like that. That church is a great place to record.
Yeah. Now you got a third one that works right now, is that right?
We always got one. Yeah, we got a lot of stuff recorded right now. We got, I don't know, probably 30 tunes in the can. It's just whether we want to. We don't want to make another record just like the last two we made. You know, I mean, it's really kind of easy to make a two guitar record, but we're trying to think about how to present it in a little different form. You know, do a couple of band tracks and, you know, maybe do a solo tune on there. We do some rags and stuff, which we'd like to throw on a record.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's just a question of getting enough of the right material together, so it's not just a mishmash of different things. It's got a little more of a theme to it. You know?
Sure, but sure.
It'll come someday. Someday mm-hmm. soon. We were just talking with Al Oikri. I don't know if you're familiar with Al. He's from up in Schroeder, but he was the keyboardist for the Big Woo, and he lives up there. He grew up in Schroeder, and he was at the gig the other night. We were talking with him about doing a live recording. He does a lot of engineering and recording, so we might do something with him later on this fall.
That'd be real quick and easy.
You know, so that would be a great easy one.
No second takes that way. So.
No, we don't like second takes anyway.
Or third, or fourth, right. Or fifth. What are you going to
do? Oh, let's see. We'll do one more tune here. You don't want to retune. Let's do... Here, we'll do a, this is a Jimmy Reed tune that actually Bob recorded this. He was on a recording of this song when with the Cranstons, but
Tiger in Your Tank, that album.
But I was playing around, and I had this little guitar figure, and I was just looking for some lyrics, and so I threw them on there, and it's kind of worked out pretty well. It's called Ain't No Time for Fussin', a Jimmy Reed tune that we don't even put the Jimmy Reed groove on it at all. So it ain't no time for fussing, baby, now it's time for love. It ain't no time for fussing, baby, now it's time for love. Oh, you treat me like a stranger, yet you tell me I'm the one you love. You got to prove it to me, baby, or you stay at home and treat me right. Oh, prove it to me, mama, or you stay at home and treat me right. Oh, you keep it like that, everything is bound to be all right. Ain't no high-heeled mini dress back in the bag. Take off them high-heeled shoes and put your mini dress back in the bag. Or put your wig hat on the wall. Oh, come on, girl, let's have a ball. Let's get to getting, baby. Baby, while the getting's good. Oh, let's get to getting, baby. Baby, while the getting's good. Let's take it back to the shack, all the way out in them old piney woods. It ain't no time for fussing, baby, now it's time for love. It ain't no time for fussing, no, baby, now it's time for love. Now, oh, treat me like a stranger, you tell me I'm the one you love. Get to get it, baby, while the getting's good. Oh, let's get to getting, mama, baby, while the getting's good. Let's take it back to the shack, all the way out in them old piney woods. You ain't no angel, baby, no mermaid on the sea. Oh, you ain't no angel, mama, no mermaid on the sea. You're just a dreamy-eyed gal, and you really got your hooks in me. Ain't no time for fussing, baby, now it's time for love. It ain't no time for fussing, baby, now it's time for love. Oh, you treat me like a stranger, yet you tell me I'm the one you love. Oh, you treat me like a stranger, yet you tell me I'm the one you love.
You treat me like a stranger, yet you tell me I'm the one you love.
Bob Bingham, Gordon Thorne, thanks so much. I appreciate
you
guys coming today. Have fun tonight.
Yep.
Today's program was produced by Christine Dean with help from Seamus Johnson. I'm Chris Harwood, your host. Funding was provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.